Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Your mom's is so poor. She went to McDonald's and put a shake on layaway.
Oh.
Is your mother so old she knew Central Park when it's just a plant?
Your mom's hair so nappy she gotta take painkillers to comb her hair. Forget them girls, man.
What's up?
I got a little story to tell you.
Have you ever met a girl that you tried to date, but a year to make love, she wanted you to wait? Let me tell you a story of my situation. I was talking to this girl from the U.S. nation. The way that I met her was on tour at a concert. She had long hair and a short miniskirt. I just got on stage dripping porn with sweat. I was walking through the crowd, and guess who I met? I whispered in her ear, come to the picture booth so I can ask you some questions to see if you're 100 proof. I asked her name, she said blah, blah, blah. She had 9-10 pants and a very big bra. I took a couple of flicks and she was enthused. I said, how do you like the show? She said I was very amused. I started throwing bass, she started throwing back mid-range. But when I sprung the question, she acted kind of strange. Then when I asked, do you have a man? She tried to pretend. She said, no, I don't. I only have a friend. I'm not even going for it. It's what I'm going to sing.
You got what I need. But you say he's just a friend. And you say he's just a friend. Oh, baby, you got what I need. But you say he's just a friend. But you say he's just a friend.
Work for it at this time. I thought just having a friend couldn't be no crime. Cause I have friends, and that's a fact. Like Agnes, Agatha, Jermaine, and Jack. Forget about that, let's go into the story about a girl named blah 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 that adore me. So we started talking, getting familiar, spending a lot of time so we can build a relationship or some understanding. How it's gonna be in the future, we was planning. Everything sounded so dandy and sweet. I had no idea I was in for a treat. After this was established, everything was cool. The tour was over and she went back to school. I called every day to see how she was doing. Every time that I called her, it seemed something was brewing. I called her room, a guy picked up, and then I called her again. I said, yo, who is that? Oh, he's just a friend.
But you say he's just a friend.
me fill out a visitor's form. He told me where it was, and I was on my way to see my baby doll. I was happy to say, I arrived in front of the dormitory. Yo, could you tell me where is door 3? They showed me where it was for the moment. I didn't know I was in for such an event, so I came to a room and opened the door. Oh, snap! Guess what I saw? I felt a tongue kissing my girl in the mouth. I was so in shock, my heart went down south. So please listen to the message that I sent. Don't ever talk to a girl who says she just has a friend. Has a friend. Has a friend. Has a friend. Has a friend.
Yes. Welcome to another episode of Unmasked with Authoress Terry E. Lyle. And that tune was Biz Markie, Just a Friend. And I want to thank all my listeners from North and South and East and West and all my global listeners. And I want to start with thanking the ones in the United States, France, Germany, Senegal, Australia, UK, Canada, Nigeria, Cameroon, Africa, Singapore, Pakistan, Iraq, Peru, Russia, India, Netherlands, Portugal, St. Vincent, and the Grenadine Islands. And where I'm at here, Sweet Home Alabama, the weather is acting up. It's rumbling and some activity with thunderstorms and lightning. I pray that it doesn't interfere with the server and knock me off. So without further delay, if you hear any rumbling in the background, it's not my stomach. It's the weather. Well, I want to say hi to my two co-hosts, Mark and Chris. How y'all doing?
I'm doing good. Excellent. Excellent day.
I'm doing great.
Thank you, Mark. And tonight we got a real treat. We got a phenomenal lady on here. Her name is Sharon Jones, and this woman, she does a lot of things. I mean, she's a minister. She helps the community giving back. She has her own TV show called The Sharon Jones Show. But, you know, and she's just a beacon in the darkness, you know, because when you see her, she's always there to give you something encouraging, to keep you to hold on. But, you know, like everybody else, she's no exception. We all have a past. It's because of her past that I'm so proud of her, because she didn't buckle. Like I tell people, it's all right to bend, just don't break. Without further ado, I want to welcome my special phenomenal guest, Sharon Jones. How you doing, darling?
I'm doing great. Awesome. How are you?
I'm good, baby. It's good to hear your voice, and I know it's a blessing for us to catch you, because you're always busy, like you said, you know, turning up. You have to turn down sometimes because your schedule's always
busy. Exactly. It is, but it's all good. God gets the glory for it. Yes, he does.
Yes. So
amen.
I'm going to let you start.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep it real simple. I'm going to say, okay, Sharon, you was born, then what?
I was born, I tell you. My mother had a car accident when she was pregnant with me. She decided to go get a driver's license. What a crazy thing to do. Pregnant woman driving a car. I guess the devil said, I'm going to take her out before she gets here because she's going to be a star. I don't need another star on this planet. So mother ran up into a department store. Of course, we end up in the ambulance in the belly. But I got here, damaged goods. I got here, and I've been running ever since, Miss Terry.
Well,
should I tell you more?
well, we're going to get it out you one way or the other. You know, we ain't got to pull. We got the best baby.
Okay. Well, actually, I'll tell you, Terry, this is what really went on. In high school, I was an 11th grader. My teacher one day pulled me to the side, and she said, I want you to host for me. I want you to work out a talent show. I need you to work out a fashion show. Which one do you want to do first? And I said, neither one. And I said, I don't know what to do. She said, I want to work along with you. I want you to do this. And I really tried to get out of it, but she kept being so adamant. So I actually did, for the school from 11th grader, a fashion show. I could not believe how powerful it was for me, because I come from nothing, scratch. And she helped a little along, and she kind of left me along the way. But little did I know, when I became 20-something years old, I opened and started doing entertainment. I did gong shows and things in high school after that. But I started entertainment, and I actually retired. 2014, I was given the city proclamation for Mother of Fashion and Entertainment, Columbus, Georgia. So I am the oldest, and I was held out the longest, oldest entertainment with fashion in this city. And I've been thanking God for that proclamation that I received. When I was going out in 2014 with the Mother of Fashion and Entertainment, because I owned a modeling company, which was named Avante. I started August 94, and I retired 2014 from the fashion models. I put so many through the help of God and through the strength of Him blessing me to be able to pour into the spirits of many, male, female, women, children, men, boys. It was just an actual move of God. Didn't know that I was cut out for ministry at that time. I just was doing it because I had a passion for people, and I was very, very in tune with helping people feel better about themselves. If there was anything inside of them, Terry, I knew God would help me bring it out of them. I have so many testimonies from people right here in the community that I touched lives from 94 all the way into still to now, but it started really big at that point. And I tell you, I've sat and watched people come through me that I started on television, seeing them at the movies. I've been able to just see the blessings of God on other people where He used me as a vessel and instrument. I also was able to, 2014 is when I started the TV talk show. The good thing about it, my desire was always to be like Oprah, but better. So I went into Atlanta when she first got her network, and I actually auditioned in Atlanta for it and didn't make it. But I told God, I said, Lord, I know that You know, because I don't know what You have for my life, but I desire to be a TV talk show host. And I said, and it wasn't Your will for me to be with the network, so I just thank You for the opportunity. Forgot about it. That was in 10. 2014, oh, my goodness. Doors open. They called my job while I was working here in Columbus at that time at a cemetery. I was a grievance family service counselor, grievance counselor. And they called the job, and they said, we've seen this lady on a TV commercial, and we want to know that she still works here. And the lady said, yeah, Sharon Jones still works here. And they scheduled, and they came out to my employment place at that time and talked with me and said that they were interested in my energy, in my enthusiasm. They just seen so much energy because I did a couple of TV commercials, and they seen one, and they were looking for a particular type of individual for this particular talk show. So I got connected with them at the early part, like April 2014. I was already planning retirement from the modeling. It was already in effect from 13, because I stated at that time I was going to retire when I hit my 20 year, which was 14. So it just kind of rotated right into something great. We had our lunch for the TV talk show in August of 14, my retirement come up November 14, and like I said, I was already ready, I was in gear, and I just rotated into the TV talk show, which, oh my God, Authoress Terry, I have met so many awesome people through the TV network, through exposing them as God given me a platform to actually be another great vessel in our community, and I've had people come in and out of state, in and out of town, just to be a part of what God has given me for the people here. So it's been a blessing. I've been with Fox. I came off Fox recently, but I'm still with WYBU TV 16 and all the connected cable stations and all the connected stations that are in that network. And I've been able to, through the TV show, connect with even more commentary and hosting other red carpet events. Actually, I'm doing a event tomorrow. I'm an MC at a banquet for an Apostle Christopher Abernathy, and I am the surprise speaker. Hopefully he's not listening, but if he is, it's tomorrow, so I'm going to bring it. But I was just thank God. I was actually given the opportunity Tuesday of this week. I did a photo shoot for the national hair designer, Toby the King. I don't know if you've heard of him or not. But he's a national hair. So he's a celebrity hairstylist. He does Shirley Caesar. He does Chris Tucker mom, Mary. That's how I met Mary Tucker through him. He does the Clark sister. He does a lot of hair and makeup. He travels worldwide, and he has two salons, one in Atlanta, one in Opelika. But he does a calendar yearly. He's always used the 17, 18, 19-year-old girls, the little cute, pretty girls. He said God laid it on his heart this year to release his calendar with women, professional business women, over 40. I said, well, Toby, I'm over 50, so I think you better try somebody else. He said, no, you're able to roll with the 40-year-olds. He said, your personality, your charisma, your charm. And I said, oh, God. And he said, and your looks. And I said, oh, God. I sound like somebody else. But he said, no, it's you, because he's dealt with so many people worldwide. He said that he only had to pick 12 out of his bundle of people that he knew that was just shaking and moving in those arenas that he was looking for this calendar. So he bugged me so bad, so I decided, okay, I'll go ahead and shoot. So I actually finished that. The calendar will be released in October for the 2018-19 year, and I have a month all by myself. So I was just blessed and thankful that, you know, they thought enough of me to come down and shoot for that event. So there's so many other great things going on. I'm a grandmother. Finally, I have a grandson. He's 20 months old, little boy, named after my son. I have two sons. I am a single woman. I am a pastor. I pastor at Servant of God Ministries right here in Columbus, Georgia, at 1010 Blandford Avenue, Columbus, Georgia. We have a very unique ministry. I would like to invite anybody, if they're out in the area at any time, to come out and actually be a part of our 12 o'clock noon service. They say, why is service so late? I said, well, why should we have service so early? I give people a chance to get their nap, sleep out, and we go ahead and come in and worship at 12, and we're out at 1:30. There are so many different things I do. I do visit the hospitals. I visit all the time the nursing homes. I have a mother in the nursing home, and that gives me a reason to go and interact with other individuals. All those nursing home workers and the residents, they watch the show, and they love when I come in weekly, several times a week, to visit mother, and I end up spending time with other elderly members. And I visit also hospice. Very busy in the city, because my gifts revolves around helping people, just giving people a word, motivating them, inspiring them, just being able to pour into people in different ways. So is that enough of who I am for now, or do I need to tell a little bit more?
Dark, and it is lightning and everything. My dog sitting beside my leg, because they're nervous. So I'm going to leave this with Chris. You can ask your question, baby.
All right, Sharon. My first question to you is, like, for me, I went to a media school. That's how I got my media background. Did you, prior to your talk show, did you have any media experience?
No, believe it or not, I knew it was the acts of God. I actually did a radio show. Oh, God, it was almost 26 years ago. It was a station here in Phoenix City, WEAM. I was actually an air personality for about 7 months. That was the closest I touched with just media interactions, but I was always with my company doing some media, actually promoting and advertising. I have a company named Jones Marketing, and I do a lot of the media things through that that outlet, more promoting, marketing, advertising, and helping companies, businesses, helping people that would like to do fashion events, or because I have a lot of knowledge in those areas, and I got a lot of my things from kind of clocked in more than actual educational part in a lot of studies. I got a lot of hands-on.
Oh, that's cool. That's awesome.
That's great. Well, and now to Mark. I know he got some questions for you as well.
Oh, yeah. Sharon, I'm so happy to be keeping up with the Joneses and you today, okay?
Thank you.
I've always been interested and fascinated by people who have overcame adversity in their lives, especially with divine help, as I have. Can you tell us about some of the dark times and how you walked through them, and about the footprints in the sand, who guided you to who you are today?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I've had so much come against me. Believe it or not, my first marriage was a 14-year marriage where I had that first son. I had an awesome husband. He just had a few problems, and we tried to work those things out, and I dealt with him being a alcoholic, great man. Just an alcoholic, and I kind of dealt with a lot of it. And so being in that environment, trying to raise my son, we divorced, and I decided after that divorce to try marriage again. And it was a different type of a situation. You know, I don't hide my past if someone wants to know it, because there was a lot of dark times in it. But after this second divorce, which only lasted the marriage 3 years, I became very depressed. I was so, so beaten. I put all my all into that second marriage. I was more mature. I was able to give so much more. I had a lot more wisdom. I was able to tolerate things that I would have never tolerated when I was younger. I was so, so, so into making sure that I didn't mess up in the marriage, because the first marriage, I think we both did a job on each other once we realized it wasn't going to go the way we planned. And that second time, I was more faithful, loyal. I was truly faithful, loyal. I was devoted. I was everything, because I didn't want to be that it was anything on my part. But I found that my world crashed when I actually found my husband at the motel with his girlfriend. My world crashed one night, and my life changed, and I had to deal with it, and because of who it was and how it was. Once I caught them, he had actually brought the woman to the motel, so she wasn't in a car. And when I found, I was on the side of the truck, so when they come out, I kind of dodged. And my best friend that was in my wedding was down from Atlanta that weekend, and I had called her over and told her I was there. But the hurting part was when he came out, I actually peeked around, and then he seen me. He got in the truck, locked the door. But the real hard part that I had to swallow, when the woman come out the room, I knew who she was. And when she come out the room, she didn't see me. And when she got close to the truck, I came from around the side, and she's just startled. And what it was, she kept beating on my husband's door, saying, "Let me in, let me in." And he was just sitting there with the door locked, and I'm just standing there. But the hurt came when finally she beat until she was tired. I never said a word. She got in the truck. He unlocked the door. She got in the truck. And they drove off, left me in the parking lot standing, watch him drove off. And that just kind of did it. So I was just so torn. I really didn't want to. I got to a point, I left him. There was a police called involved. I left him, and I relocated in the city, had two foster kids. My children were grown, but my foster kids, I was raising them, so I had to uproot them from my home. And it was just really a trying time. I got so depressed, I just got where I didn't want to live, because I felt like I had wasted and failed again at marriage. I felt like I had gotten a bad deal. I felt like I was nothing. I just felt bad. I can't even explain at this moment. It looked like my family wasn't interacting with me the way I felt they should have. And the holidays came, and my family were busy. I was always giving the outings and doing the great things, and the family's coming over to swim in our pool. We're barbecuing. All those things changed when I left, and it was like nobody was interested in dealing with me right then, and they gave me room, and I felt lonely. I felt stressed, depressed, angry, didn't know how to get it out, and I started turning around thinking suicidal, but I was like, no, I'm a Christian. I can't die, kill myself. I start asking God if he'll just let me die, if I just can go to sleep tonight and not wake up in the morning. I was telling God, just pick me. I'll go. I don't want to be here. I don't even have a reason to want to be here, and God would not take me. So I was very upset about it. A couple of mornings, I wake up, and I realize I'm woke again. God, why didn't you take me? That's my prayer. And I got upset to the point I said, I'm done. I'm not going to beg him to take me anymore because evidently he's not listening. So I decided to try to figure out, why am I still here? Why am I still here? So I started to listen to some pastors that were friends of mine. I started to answer lines and connect with them, and they started talking to me in my spirit. I started to receive, realizing that I had a call on my life and that a lot of things had crushed me so I could be the woman of God that I am right now. You know, that's a jewelry diamond goes through a burning. It goes through a crushing to be the jewel that it's going to be. So I had to be crushed, beat down, molded, pressed under pressure to be this woman of God that I could stand before a congregation, because I used to talk about it very little, because it hurts so much, but God gave me a whole new approach in my life. He gave me a whole new reason to live. He gave me a whole reason to be who I am and to stand boldly for all the women that can't speak up or speak out. He gave me a sound that will, the voice of a community from our women's point and from a broken place. There were so many other things came with being homeless during my lifetime, being a lot of things that people don't look at me and see. They don't know my story. They just look at the smile on my face. They look at the glory, but they don't know the real deal. I've been evicted from homes like everybody else. I've lost cars and repo like most other people. You know, I've been there, so I can talk from a lot of areas. I've partied and partied till I couldn't party no more. I've been there. I've drank. I didn't never smoke, but I've done things that, you know, that I wasn't proud of, but it made me who I am. Now, that's why I don't look down at people. I look at people, not down at them.
Amen.
That is such an uplifting story. Oh my.
Yeah. And that's
so. Will you marry again? Are you through with it, Sharon? Are you dating at all?
Sharon. Sharon.
Where'd you go?
Well, she's still here on the switchboard, but my switchboard is saying I don't have any internet. But I'll tell you what, we'll just take a break, and we'll get back to Sharon in 2 minutes.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
That storm, man, is kicking strong right here. I don't know if y'all can hear the background. That storm is hard. And I don't know. I don't know if I lost her. Wow, that's kind of scary. And my switchboard is not playing either. So,
think the storm knocked it out?
I think so. I tell you what, Mark and Chris, would y'all keep talking, please, while I try to figure this thing out. And if the commercial come on, then y'all let it play. All right?
Okay.
All right.
So, Chris, I thought you did a really great job on your test run.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I try to do a good job. I try to. So thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I listened to the whole thing, and it was very impressive.
Yeah.
Just because
it really gets.
It's Mark. I said because he takes after me.
Yeah, I think so. Like mother, like son.
I know, right?
No. Yeah, I have a whole new respect for Terry knowing what she deals with, I tell you.
Oh, I know. I know it.
Yeah.
Not everybody can do that, what she does.
Yeah.
Wow, you know some on this thing, I was trying to troubleshoot the issues while I can't hear Sharon, and it's saying to me that troubleshooting couldn't identify the problem. It's because it's electrical. It's the thunderstorm that's going on. And because it's saying I don't have any internet, it's not letting me open any browsers, and I can't hear her. So
well,
I'm going to get on my cell phone.
Reschedule.
Yeah, because we won't be able to have any music, but we will be able to talk. So I'm gonna call her up on her phone and actually call back in, and we'll see if we can do that. And we'll just talk for a few more minutes, or we got to shut it down because I'm a little nervous about being on the phone, especially when it's storming like this.
I
when I was young, to, you know, be quiet, sit still. Hang up the phone. You know, I'm not used to this at all.
So, just a new challenge for you. It's just one of those things.
It's like exactly what it is. Hey, Sharon, try to call back in because we can't hear you on the switchboard. It says you're still here, but we can't hear you. And the storm didn't not. Okay, baby. Well, she's going to try to call back in. But it's saying that she's still on switchboard, but that's because switchboard is frozen. We don't have any internet. I can't play commercials. I can't do nothing. So,
I was going to ask you, Terry, you know, if Chris does, you know, the show when you can't, does he need a switchboard like that or just a landline?
Yes. He needs to have a landline and a cell. Because he ought to be able to see the switchboard. That's what he was doing.
I used my cell to sign in, and then I used the landline when I hosted the show that day.
Okay.
And you got something to look at, so it's bigger for you. Yeah, because he's gonna be thrown out in the water sooner than he expects. Like, you know, early July. Here she go again. Here we go. Sharon, are you there, darling?
I'm on. Can you hear me?
Yeah, the storm has knocked off my internet. I can't play commercials. So this is an opportunity for my beautiful co-hosts to ask you some questions because we can't even do commercial. So y'all can yap it up.
Okay.
Yeah. What I was going to ask you, Sharon, is are you through with marriage or are you keeping open the possibility?
Well, I know that everybody's different. We have some of the same similar stuff going on sometimes, but I'm not closed down for a God to send me that great man of God. I know one thing, that was 2009, but I do know that I haven't really been in anything serious since I left him and divorced. It took me a couple of years to get the divorce. We was going back and forth, but God made it. I just told the attorney, just let me get nothing and just let me sign this paper. I just want this done because it was just weighed out so long. So I was just tired, and I needed that. I needed that closure. So I have not been involved in any type of serious relationship, but I'm very interested because I believe God has really worked with me, and I've actually had time to heal properly, and because I know hurt people, and I don't want to hurt anyone, and I don't want to be hurt, so I had to just get all the pain. I had to let God work all the pain and hurt out of me so I can be worth something to the next person that's deserving. But right now, guys come up and they don't have a car, which I don't have a problem with them not having a car, but I'm not the Uber driver or the taxi, so then you need to keep moving. And You know, don't ask me to go to the movie and tell me to pick you up. No, you're not going to drop me off at work and keep my car while I labor. No, we're not doing that. You're not going to move in because I got a house. We're not getting a move in. I don't need a roommate. I need a good man of God that holds his own weight. No, I'm not going to come over your house late at night. We're not doing. You're not coming over mine late at night. We're not doing that. We're not going out of town together. You're not using your mom's phone at your mom's house to call me because you don't have a home cell phone. We're not doing that. I think everybody needs to hold their own weight. So, you know, when something that's quality, not that I'm a gold digger or a I'm not too over that I can't deal with someone, but why would I take with someone that's doing drugs, or why would I take someone that's an alcoholic? I've had the alcoholics. Why should I take with someone that's not employed? Why should I take with someone don't have their own vehicle or their own something? I just can't do it, and I haven't done it. And my friend lady said I was very picky. I said, no, I'm not picky. I said, I just don't. I got a certain thing that there's certain things that has to be like a job. There's certain requirements you must have to get the proper job. So I need a man that can stand on his own. That's what I need.
You are absolutely correct, but you said it a little differently than me, Sharon. I said that, you know, when I was young and naive about the world, I allowed people to tell me that I should be more compliant with what they wanted from me, you know, and I accepted that because, you know, everybody wants to be loved and everybody wants to think that they're doing their share to make a relationship work. But as I got older and wiser, I realized that, no, you know, as long as I'm settling for what somebody think I should be, I will never be happy. So I first got to learn how to love who I am, you know.
Amen.
I know what my worth is, and if that person don't meet certain requirements, like, you know, if this person is just a booze head or smoking cigarettes or doing drugs, things I'm not trying to be a part of, you know, somebody who don't want to have a relationship with Christ, I'm not trying to be a part of it. So I have a choice, and we all got choices. And I'm not saying I think I'm all this and that, but I know what I want for my life to make it work easy. I'm tired of working hard. I need to work smart.
Amen. Amen. That's it. If you can't add to what I'm trying to do, then you're dead weight. I don't carry weight well. I'm overweight on my body, so why would I carry someone else's dead weight? No. I'm trying to lose my own bodily weight, so I'm not picking up no dead weight to carry around. I do fine by myself. I would love another. I would love someone that would love me for the woman of God that I am. But until God sends them, it ain't happening. Every time I pick one, he's a zero. So I'm not picking. I'm allowing God to send me what I need because he knows what I need. And I'm willing to hold out. I'm willing to hold how long it takes. I'm committed to holding because I want the best. I may take a nothing just to have something and miss the something that I could have had because I got something that's a zero in the way. No, you will not distract me from what I have coming because I know greater is coming.
Yeah, and you know, some that's going to be easy because when that person come along, you'll know it'll be easy. You know, and Satan
exactly.
Going to say something. It might appear to the looks or might appear to the finances or might appear to the sexual relationship, but just keep your eyes open and let God choose.
Amen.
And that's what I'm waiting for. Because a lot of people say to me, they say, well, you're an attractive lady. Thank you for the compliment. But I'm humble enough to know that, okay, I ain't all this and that, but I'm okay, you know. But
okay.
Well, I'm single, you know. I'm single because I just, you know, I don't want to pick anybody. I don't want anybody sharing my space. I want somebody that I can trust, that when once I'm
Amen.
Gone, I'm whatever, you ain't trying to undermine me or take something that I got, you know, because I bring something to the plate. I'm not a knucklehead, you know. I don't just bring.
Exactly.
I bring some substance, you know.
Exactly. What make, you know, one guy, and I'll put it to you this way because I know just what you're saying. One guy I talked to about 3 years ago, he come around. He wasn't around but about three and a half weeks. He said, my BMW, it tore up at my uncle's house out in Harris County. I said, really? He said, my mama tell you, I have a nice high, da-da-da. I said, oh, okay. He said, but you got three cars. He said, I need you to let me hold one. I said, hold a car? He said, yeah. He said, God bless you with three cars, and I know you ain't tripping about no car. I know you can let me hold this car. I said, listen, you said the magic word. God bless me with three cars. I said, I didn't hear you in it. He blessed me. So why would I get my blessing and give you a blessing of my blessing when you haven't even showed me anything worth blessing you? Why would I do that? He said, oh, so it's like that, huh? Oh, so you're going to act like that? Oh, so I see you're selfish. I said, no, I'm not selfish. I've struggled like crap to get everything I have. Why would I go through hell and struggle to get everything I got? Nobody has given me anything. I come from a field worker, out in a farmer, from a kid, all the way up until who I am now. And you're telling me I've worked like crap to get this stuff to just give you over keys? I said, no, sir, brother. No, sir.
No way.
A smooth talker. A lot of professional women and women of God have failed for smooth talkers. You're not smooth enough to get my keys to my house nor my car. You're not smooth enough. So since you can't get anything, you keep going. I prefer you do that. Because I'm accountable. I'm responsible. If you go hit somebody in my car, if you burn, put a cigarette somewhere, and I don't even smoke and burn my house down, I'm accountable. I'm dealing with all this crap. You're not going to put anything on me to deal with when I got enough things going on trying to make my life, trying, like you say, keeping my space in my own life.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Amen.
I'm just letting y'all know that I lost power a few minutes ago. And while y'all was talking, I was off the air. It was black. The lights just came back on. So,
thank
Chris,
God.
Go to the next question, because where I'm at in Alabama, it is crazy. I got the phone down. I don't even want to touch it. I'm not trying to get shot. I'm a little uneasy. But I'll just say that.
Right. Ooh. It's okay.
All right, Sharon. My question is... With all the success that you've had with the talk show, have you thought about writing any books on your career?
You know what? That's a good question, really good question. I started writing, stop and start. I'm going to. I know probably by the end of the year, maybe I should be finished and have everything finished so I could start maybe the first of 2019. That's my goal, because some of the things I wanted to say in one of the ones I started writing, I came to this thing that when my mother head gets cold, we've been going through a lot of health things with her in and out the hospital, being very, very ill. One of the books I started on that I stopped, I don't want to get that one finished until mother head's cold. So if it takes her 5 more years, whatever, that book is going to wait. But until then, I've been working on another one, actually two different books, and that one I've just been slowly snail. But when I do put it out there, I believe all of you guys will have a copy. I really do, because I come from the farm. That's why I love Oprah. I come from the farm as a farmer. I was a little girl out in Butler, Georgia, Taylor County, on a farm. When I was 4 years old, I was the water girl. I had to carry all the workers their water. Once I became 6 years old, I graduated and went to picking butter beans and peas and okra and corn. I was out there in the field sun up to sundown. We didn't have a summer because we always were farming. And in the winter, we did store work. I got a lot of different stories that goes with different books. So I've just been trying. Right now, I've been working on two of them. But like I said, it's going to be something to bless the people for sure when I put it out and finish it and put it out.
Oh,
amen.
I can't wait. Awesome.
So, Chris, you got a question for Sam?
Who, me? I just, another question?
Am I hard to ask the
question, sir?
Okay, well, I'm lost in the sauce. Well, go ahead, Mark. You handle this, darling.
What about me? Yeah, just to switch gears a little bit, Sharon, tell us about the recent Clean Queens of Comedy show you hosted in Columbus. Tell us about that.
Oh, yes. One thing about me, when I was doing the fashion during my 20 years of doing the complete fashion, one of the guys in 2010, he said, Sharon, why don't you implement comedy with your fashion show? I said, well, you know, I thought about it, but I don't know how that would go off. He said, well, the best way to do it is just try it. So I put a show out in November 2010 down at the Columbus Liberty Theater, and I threw a comedian in the show from Atlanta. He said, I know a good one. So I took a suggestion, hired this girl. I thought she was a comedian that was seasoned. Little did I know that she had never done a stand-up comedy in front of a stage audience. She was doing a little bit in her church with her church family. She had never had a gig before. He never told me that. So I hired this girl. She come down. She was all excited. And I was like, she's overly excited to come here. So they got me all bubbly and more excited. And I introduced her. She was such a great comedian. The people were just like, wow, she's good. So I was talking to her afterwards, and I was just telling her how the people received her, and she was so good, and they wanted her back. She said, well, Sharon, I'll never forget you. She said, that you're the first one that ever gave me my start. She said, the rest of my life, I remember starting in Columbus, Georgia, under you. I said, wait a minute, you've never done comedy before? She said, well, I did it at my church, but never outside of my family that I knew, the church. She said, I've never done it before. That was my first time. I said, get out of here. This girl from 2010, I brought her every year to Columbus to do some work with commentating for my shows, fashion shows, or actually doing the live comedy. But last year I seen her in the movies. I sat and watched her do movies with Kevin Hart. He had selected her out of a group of ladies out of Atlanta, and he was shooting the movies. She was his stand-up comedy. So I watched this girl that we started right here in the city of Columbus on with Kevin Hart. But this year was better because 6 weeks ago, I sat and I watched her with Steve Harvey. She won Showtime at the Apollo, and Steve was so impressed with her, he gave her a sit-down interview where she actually interviewed on TV. I gave her her first interview about 3 years ago because I had her come down, and we talked about her comedy and da-da-da, but I actually critiqued her, not knowing that she would go on a TV interview with Steve Harvey, so it was her second time, her first with me, so that's been 6 weeks ago, so I brought her down last weekend. I had a comedy show for the Father's Day weekend. I had Clean Queens, which was Mother's Day weekend that Saturday, but she was out of town in Florida doing a gig. So she was able to come in for the Kings of Comedy. And all my comedy shows are clean. She was able to do the hosting for it last week, which was an awesome success. But ever since 2010, I've been bringing comedians, clean comedians, to Columbus. And not only that, the last 3 years, I've been bringing three shows a year. I've been blessed to set a – one thing I found out about being a Christian – there's a lot of people that backslide because they say there's nothing to do but work, go eat out, go shopping, and go to church. They can't really find good entertainment because we don't go to sports bars anymore. We don't go to clubs anymore. We don't go to these birthday parties that folks are just doing a lot of drugs and just everywhere falling out drunk. We don't do those things. So we're limited to things we do and places we go. And so I've decided, you know, God laid it on my heart to go ahead and just really push the comedy. Because one thing I know about Christians, they love to laugh. If you can get them in a safe, family-friendly, safe environment, you can give some good comedy, no cursing, no profanity, no nasty talk, and you can actually be really, really funny, that's a good comedian. So I've been able to link up with a lot of comedians out of Florida, Carolina, and Atlanta that I've been bringing here from the last couple of years nonstop, and the people just embrace it because they weren't used to clean comedy. So now I've been named the clean queen of comedy in Columbus, Georgia. So, I've worked to get several titles, I tell you. So that's what I do. If it's clean, I'm the queen. Let's do it. Let's do it. So God is working on now. I'm bringing a play from Atlanta. It's about women on the rise. That's the name of the play. I've already viewed the play. I went up to Atlanta about 2 months ago, and I actually sat in the theater, watched this play, and it was about a message of how women are trying to move forward and the things that happen from the guys that are in there, the guys that we take up in our lives that we think is going to be there for us to root and cheer us on and support us and our movement, and they're actually making us stumble, triple, and fall, and giving us a distraction of where we're trying to go. It's really good because it ends up, every woman wins at the end, but all the struggle they do. And I loved it so much. And me and the playwright, we talked before the show, and we talked right after the show, and he was like, I really wanted you to see it. I'm glad you come to Atlanta to see this play because I was hoping that you would like it enough to bring it to your city. So we've actually been working on bringing that play. That will be my first play bringing to the city with substance, something that will build our ladies up, something that will get them motivated, excited, something that will get attention in this city about making moves regardless of the obstacles. So I'm excited about that.
Sounds exciting.
Well, Sharon, because I'm having some weather issues, we're going to probably have to wrap this up 10 minutes early. So could you let everybody know how to reach you on your media sites, what's coming up for you? And
yes.
Then you also,
yes.
When you write for that book, I'm here to help you.
Okay. Right now they can find me YouTube, The Sharon Jones Show, Dropliner, Keeping Up with the Joneses. They can find me on Facebook under Sharon Jones. It has TV Talk show host. They can find me on Instagram, TV Talk show host / life coach / commentator / MC / counselor / pastor / several slashes, but they can find me on Instagram. They can also reach me at 706-593-8990. They can reach me inbox, and there's just my, let's see what I missed. What did I miss, guys?
Twitter?
I don't think anything.
Okay. Okay. And I'm here. I also pray for people in intercede. Someone out there needs a prayer or anything. If they're going through something and they need someone, they can reach out and touch me as well. I'm well-rounded in so many areas. God gave me so many different gifts. I pretty much do a lot of things. I'm talented to I lay hands. I work in fivefold ministry. God has used me to help heal some people. He used me to sing. He's used me to do commentary. He's used me for so many things, and I'm just so glad of meeting with you, Terry, authoress Terry, because you're a woman that moves like myself, and I admire you. I just want you to know that, and I appreciate you for even having me on your show, and I'm so happy that I met the guys that you have that are co-hosts with you. It's just been a blessing for me just to share a little bit of my story today.
And I'm sure that someone will benefit.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing that I got from Sharon's story for the people who tuned in late is just that it's not where you start, it's where you finish. Do not, you can bend, just don't break. And God should be at the forefront of your life, because if you have issues in your life, it's because you don't have that relationship with Christ. People who have made it because God put them there. So, you know, that's what you think about. You know, if you ever think about why me, why I'm having all these issues, because you don't have a relationship with Christ. Put them first, and everything will work out in the wash. You know, and so I know this leak I have today in my house, and it's raining buckets, made me say, I ought to put a bowl out there so I can get some water, because everything turned off.
Uh-oh.
I'm stressed. because I know God's in control. I'm just going to chill out, get off the phone and everything, and I appreciate you, Sharon, for being here tonight. Chris, Mark, you know, for hanging in there, you know. My dogs are scared. They're sitting at my feet because they're trembling on that phone, making me uncomfortable too. But anybody out there in the Alabama, Georgia area, if you caught out in the weather, pull over, get somewhere safe, because life is
right.
Sunday. Because a friend of mine just told me yesterday that this lady had a baby in her hand, in her arms, and another little child leaving with the Waffle House, and the lightning struck her baby that she was carrying in the head, killed that baby instantly, and also ricocheted and killed the other child that was walking to the car.
Wow.
And that child also died, you know.
My God.
You know, people think this lightning and thunder stuff is something like, I can bypass it. It don't affect me. Lightning don't care where it strike. It can come through your house, because there's a house not too far from where I live at. The roof is tore up. You know, it depends. It's like, you know, it's a random thing, you know. So with that being said, you know, everybody stay safe. You know, I'll see you next week when we have Alan on here, Alan Wright, the medium part two. And he talks to spirits, and it's the paranormal. So if you're all about it, be here at 7:30 at the same place, 347-945-6003. I love you, Sharon. Love you, Mark. Love you, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, Sharon.
Thank
you,
guys.
Sharon,
thank you. All right, bye-bye.
Have a great weekend.
You too, darling.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
If I were your woman,
if you were my woman,
and you were my man, she tears you down, darling, says you're nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
But I'm